As the U.S. grapples with the fallout from the riot on Capitol Hill, the push to impeach President Donald Trump for a second time is gaining ground. Democrats are expected to introduce impeachment resolutions backed by more than 190 co-sponsors. So what does this all mean? Well, joining us now to try help make sense of it all is retired U.S. diplomat in Africa and East Asia, Brooks Spector. Brooks, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So what have you made of all that's been erupting stateside? And more to the point, do you see Democrat efforts to impeach U.S. President Trump for a second time round being successful this time?
I don't think, to be honest with you, that they will succeed in the remaining, 9 days of the Trump presidency, achieve an impeachment and a conviction, because impeachment, which is basically like an indictment, is carried out by the House of Representatives, and the trial, such as it is carried out by the Senate after that bill of impeachment is rendered. There just isn't enough time to get through all this between now and the 20th of January at noon. There are people who argue that just the process of doing this, of starting it, is sufficient by itself because of the symbolic nature. This would make Donald Trump the only president ever to have been impeached twice in one term of office. It never happened before. And the other version of this thinking is that you could, in fact, impeach him and then have the Senate trial in the new Senate, which would be under the presidentship, the chairmanship of Kamala Harris as the vice president. And that would be an extraordinarily interesting phenomena. You'd be trying an individual for crimes committed while in office, but he would no longer be in office, and so the punishment of removing him is kind of moot. There is another alternative out there. Actually, there are two more, really. One is to invoke the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which speaks to a president's disability. Now, it was thought of as in physical disability. He'd had a stroke or a heart attack and was unable to continue doing his job. But there is nothing in it that precludes mental or psychological disability. And many people are pushing hard for Vice President Pence to declare a presidential disability together with a majority of the cabinet.
Brooks, there is some fear, though, around what that could potentially provoke from President Donald Trump. Is that fear warranted?
Well, yeah, no, there are all kinds of tangles that could come out of that, because there is a provision in there for the president to appeal to the Congress and say, oh, no, I'm perfectly fine, and then there has to be yet another process to adjudicate the question. Again, we're talking about 9 days, and the vice president has basically said this isn't really on the table for him either. There is a final alternative, one that we're not going to see as well, but at least it merits discussion, is the idea that Donald Trump would, rather than continue with this embarrassment, simply resign. Mike Pence then becomes the president automatically, takes the oath of office, and whatever days are remaining, carries out his duties. That presupposes an agreement in some way that Mike Pence would issue a pardon for Donald Trump for any crimes, federal crimes, that is, committed or carried out. Now, we get into all kinds of thinking about that. I mean, Donald Trump has never been one to simply quit, other than to say, I won, I was the victor, now go away. And this would be the ultimate kind of losing stigma now, wouldn't it? So we're caught with all of those possibilities. Look at it from the perspective of Joe Biden, the president-elect, who is coming into the presidency again in 9 days. Probably the last thing in the world he wants is a trial of his predecessor being the key issue in the first couple of days and weeks of his presidency, when he has all the real problems to have to deal with, not the least of which is the COVID pandemic, the economic issues, the continuing racial chaos or disagreements or redress issues, and a whole series of international questions all at the same time. So from every perspective, this is awkward, but then the whole Donald Trump presidency has been awkward, to say the least.
Absolutely. And we see it culminate now in some kind of division being triggered. Brooks, to what extent are we seeing more so a splitting of the Republicans?
Well, I mean, a lot of Republicans now are trying to thread a very, very small needle hole with a very large piece of thread, saying, well, I supported the president, but I didn't support the excesses of the president, and I certainly didn't support mob violence trying to seize my place of work, that is the Capitol, and at the same time trying to distance themselves from the very idea that mob violence is the way one resolves political issues as a general principle. And this has difficulties for many of those Republicans because they've been very thoroughly in the president's corner up until Wednesday morning. And Wednesday morning, of course, was when it all fell apart. And so they're trying somehow to do that as if to say, well, yes, of course, I'm a proud Republican, but I'm not that part of the proud Republican bunch. I'm my proud Republican. I'm not sure how well that's playing, because remember, all of the Republican members of Congress will be up for re-election if they choose to stand in 2 years' time. And people do have memories, and 140 members of the Congress who are Republican did vote not to accept the Biden, the credentials of the Biden electoral vote. And so it may well be that they take the hit for having been there for the president at the last minute. Sorry about the honey dust there for a second. And at the same time, they have to deal with not just the constituents, but also campaign contributors, because some of them, large companies, some of them have publicly said, we're no longer interested in supporting in any way with campaign yeah. contributions people who took part in that charade or that thing, whatever we want to call it, and especially if you voted deliberately not to seat the new incoming president. So it's for the Republicans, it's a real mess. For the Democrats, the problem is, how do you focus attention on dealing with the issues that are important?
Absolutely.
Even if you have all this going on at the same time.
Well, Brooks, we've got the Hardy-Dars there providing somewhat of a prelude to what's going to, undoubtedly be quite a noisy run-up to January the 20th. But let's leave it there for now. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Brooks Spector, who's retired U.S. diplomat in Africa and East Africa.